Joanne.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Daddy. So that was Elaine that I heard, and Char, and is Joanne with you, Char?
Yep.
Very good. How are you all this morning?
Alive and kicking. Mostly kicking.
That's what we like to hear.
Were you warm last night, Joanne?
Pardon me?
Were you warm last night, too?
Oh yeah, it was warm. Oh, my. No movement.
Yeah. And sticky.
Yes. The cat even went into the bathtub and stripped. That's getting warm.
And I think I heard someone else just join us. Anybody want to say hi? Anything new or different going on with your vital balance or your vegan, plant-based eating? Anything new or different?
I put KVB into some of my milk that I made so I didn't have to stir it into it when I did just my cereal cold in the morning, because it's plenty warm enough out now. I don't care whether it's hot or not.
Has arrived.
What, I mixed up the coconut with the red rice and the coconut with the millet. That one's gone. The other one still has a little bit left. I just mixed the milk right in with half of the, or the KVB in with half of the milk, about the consistency I put it, you know, on individually.
Has arrived.
The other thing I did was take and put some of the KVB in a shaker so I could just shake it in instead of, you know, opening the canister and getting the scoop out and all that. Convenience is a big deal with me, so.
Yes. That sounds great. A time saver.
Yeah, just little things, you know, it makes a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I have a question to ask. I had pulled a recipe off the internet that's for coconut almond fudge. And for a coconut butter, is there such a thing?
Coconut, well, probably mixing coconut butter. Well, I think they just mean coconut oil. I mean, I make the one that's made out of coconut oil and flaxseed, but I wouldn't call it, you know, just straight coconut butter. But I think they're just talking about, in other recipes, I know they've called it that, and it was coconut oil, because they just stir it till it softens if it's not, you know, warm enough for that to happen.
Did you try this? Mary Lou
has arrived.
I just pulled it off.
Sorry.
So I will Google it and see what it says. But let me read the recipe kind of thing so you know where I'm coming from. It calls for a half cup of almond butter. I understand that. I know that's a peanut butter kind of thing. Then it calls for a half cup of coconut butter, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, and then it says 1 tablespoon of coconut oil, which led me to believe that there is basically a difference, and so that's what I need to look at. And then it calls for 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract. So that was my dilemma this morning.
Well, maybe somebody's making what they call coconut butter, just like they do almond butter, which is nothing but ground up almonds, but still, I don't know. How much, you want to read the amounts again?
Sure. It's 1/2 cup of almond butter and 1/2 cup of coconut butter. 2 tablespoons of maple syrup. 1 tablespoon of coconut oil. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract. And it says just in a saucepan, combine all ingredients. Stir on medium heat until everything is combined. pour into molds and store in the fridge to set. Should take 1 to 2 hours.
How much of the coconut powder, or no, it was coconut
butter.
Oil a second time?
Yes.
How much of that?
1 tablespoon of coconut oil.
So there's no chocolate in this?
No.
What's it called again?
Coconut almond fudge.
I think I like mine better, but this is interesting.
Yeah.
Mine's easy. Well, mine's easier, too.
I don't think this would be hard once I find out what the, where the coconut butter is or what it basically is to work on. I think it would be quick and easy as well.
Did you put it in the freezer or the refrigerator after you put it in the mold?
It says just in the refrigerator.
And you're heating it to...
Right.
Blend
to combine.
Yeah,
that would melt
easily. Yeah.
And the only thing with mine is in the winter, the coconut oil is solid, so I do melt that. I found if I turn my toaster on and put it on top in a little custard cup, it melts.
Yeah,
I need really toaster oven, other than trying to put it on the stove running. But I don't know. You know, I started spooning mine out onto wax paper and a cookie sheet rather than the molds, which I find works easier and quicker. And, of course, it's chocolate.
What are the ingredients on yours, Nancy? Do you know them offhand?
The 3 ingredients, cocoa, honey, and coconut oil in equal amounts. I usually use one of the Nikan scoops, and I generally will use like 3 scoops of each.
Okay.
And I just, you know, the coconut oil needs to be not necessarily total liquid, but certainly real soft. And, you know, if you don't have your air conditioning on too low, it works really nicely. If you don't have your air conditioning on at all, it works really well. So it's the three of them together. And I just
coconut
out
and honey
now.
And
I don't
coconut.
Even use the mold more. I also add chia seeds to it. Just because I like a bunch of it. And spoon it out onto wax paper on a cookie sheet and put it in the freezer. And then put it on a plate. You can't leave them out because they definitely will get mushy. They don't necessarily melt, but they're very sticky. You know, your hands will become very chocolatey.
Yes. I've had that happen.
Did you put KVB into it at all, Nancy?
No. I'm using the honey.
Half of it being maybe KVB would stiffen it up just enough and add a little bit of protein. Probably wouldn't detract from the flavor, but
it's worth a try.
I'm trying to come up with more recipes using the KVB just because of what it's got in it, you know, but not heating it, of course.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting to try.
Oh, I'm enjoying my Kinsen Vital Balance more. I opened a new container, and it doesn't have any of the little lumps in that the last one did. So it's nice and smooth.
Yeah, that's great. So I was just looking at forks over knives as well, the email that comes out. And they have an article in there, Meatless Mondays, Get the Axe on Capitol Hill. And I saw that in our newspaper as well. Have any of you seen that?
No.
I'll read you a little bit of it. It says, Congress caves to the livestock industry, stops promoting weekly vegetarian menu options. Says, have you signed on to the whole Meatless Mondays campaign? If so, you might as well be a commie, is what they say. Is that a stretch? Well, let's look at what happened last week when the livestock industry basically hogtied the House of Representatives quicker than the calf ropers at your average rodeo and forced them to abandon meatless Mondays in house cafeterias on Capitol Hill. I say forced because although various accounts have inevitably used the word bully, all the coalition of livestock groups did was send a letter, hardly a march up the hill with pitchforks and branding irons. But it didn't take much convincing for the House Administration Committee to cry uncle. And it wasn't like Restaurant Associates, the company that operates a number of house cafeterias, was refusing to serve any meat on Mondays. No, it just had the audacity to post signs promoting its vegetarian offerings and explaining some of the myriad benefits of cutting back on meat. Gasp. One day a week. For that, the Farm Animal Welfare Coalition, I think that's important to recognize, sent the committee that oversees House Administration a strongly worded letter. But wait a minute, let's quickly double back here. The Farm Animal Welfare Coalition, this is a coalition of groups that represent an industry dedicated to raising animals to slaughter them. The moniker is the equivalent of pesticide makers coming together to form the Happy Bee Initiative, wouldn't you say? Here's what the letter said, in part, as quoted by E&E Daily. Meatless Mondays is an acknowledged tool of animal rights and environmental organizations who seek to publicly denigrate U.S. livestock and poultry production, alleging we provide unhealthy foods while contributing disproportionately to climate change and environmental damage. Both claims are offensive to us and wrong. To anyone who's followed the wrangling on Capitol Hill over the farm bill, it probably comes as little surprise that a bunch of politicians whose campaign coffers no doubt benefit from big ag largesse would be beat a hasty retreat. But not so for Meatless Monday supporters. Robert Lawrence, director of the Center of a Livable Future at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, calls the decision gutless. It's another example of the meat industry's influence on government in a way that holds the public health in disregard and ignores the growing scientific evidence of the health-damaging effects of the typical high-meat American diet. The Sasha Lutice of the Natural Resources Defense Council writes on the Huffington Post, the conventional livestock industry knows it has something to worry about when it comes to American consumers. Public trends speak for themselves, noting that Americans are estimated to consume 12% less meat and poultry in 2012 than they did 5 years ago. The fact that the Farm Animal Welfare Coalition is in denial isn't shocking. Again, Farm Animal Welfare Coalition, for crying out loud and trying to rebut their outrage over the fact that, one, eating meat really isn't very good for you, and two, raising billions of animals for human consumption takes a heavy environmental toll, seems tantamount to getting into one of those endless Red Bull-fueled back-and-forth exchanges in the comments section on, say, the website of Fox News. Just Google eating meat and health or eating meat and environment. The 52 million search results should provide enough ammo. So that's the article they have, on that. So I think it speaks very loudly. It's kind of a shame, I think, that just one day a week it's not like meat isn't provided, I guess, but, that it suggests that people try to eat meatless for one day a week is, a pretty sad commentary that they can be forced into bypassing that totally. sad, sad, sad that it's a state of our government, isn't it?
They wouldn't have at their fingertips the numbers, the facts on how many more people can be fed minus one cow or something like that on land that I've heard it written several different ways, on land that would grow crops like grain or something that would feed the, you know, feed the hungry. That's another approach to it.
No, I have nothing on that. Wow, that's a great thought.
Because that's a pretty straightforward, you know, and dealing, and I think some of them throw the subsidy in that the government is out in money in addition to it because it's all subsidized.
Yeah.
Just a little aside on this. I think it was on Oz recently where I heard that you should not be eating more than 18 ounces of red meat a week.
That's still
even
a fair
even
amount.
That
That's
amount, like a lot to me.
18 ounces in 1 week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would take a pound. We would take a pound. Oh, sorry.
I was just saying most meat eaters are eating way above that.
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. Well, because with the way we've been conditioned, it's not just one meal a day that we're talking about meat eaters eating meat. It's like, okay, bacon or ham or whatever for breakfast, lunch meat or whatever kind of meat for lunch, and then steak or pork or whatever for dinner. So it's like each of the three meals must contain that meat.
And throw in dairy if you want an animal product, which is even many times worse on the health.
That could be almost 18 ounces in one day if you're having it three times in a day.
Exactly, and then add on fat for breakfast eggs that a lot of people have. So,
well, his whole thing was the beef.
Yeah.
So,
but just... That whole thing of 18 ounces of protein a week certainly is a big difference. I just can't stand the thought of it. So 18 ounces a week seems like a lot to me, but for most so much. I'm almost at the same point I'm almost doing the same thing with when I started with the meat that I'm, with the oil now. I mean, it just about killed me to put in. And the only reason I was using it was for flavoring, was sautéing low with sesame seed oil for this recipe that I did last night. It was off the internet. It was seared tofu with the pea shoots, and they specifically called for sesame seed oil. Well, I wouldn't have used oil, and I used way less than what it called for, or some less anyway. Maybe I shouldn't say way less because I did it in a cast iron skillet. But didn't want it to stick, and it was just in searing the tofu, but my gosh, was it good. And it did put the flavor into the tofu, and I do sometimes buy seared tofu to use in recipes. So I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and try it. You know, it's not like it's totally, totally offensive. It's just, well, you know, it depends on where your standard is. So anyway, it's just like we go by step, don't we, guys?
Yes, we definitely do. It's like whatever stage we're in at the time in our progression.
And they're doing the same thing by calling it, you know, Meatless Monday, and trying to. I think my analogy when I heard you talking about that, not a very big dent in the whole picture, was like you're chipping on the North Pole with a table knife.
Yes.
On the other hand, though, just because they may not be supporting Meatless Monday doesn't mean that there's not going to be enough options there available for someone who individually wants to do it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the posting of information as well. that...
Well, but if enough people who are eating wherever this is that they're talking about are not eating the meat because they decided on their own that that's not good for them, guess what's going to happen?
I agree, and I know, it also makes me think how ballistic I went on Denny last night when he came in at 9 o'clock from the river with the kids, and he says, oh, did you get the Tuesday newspaper? And I said, no, because you always pick it up. And I said, the one day a week that I want the newspaper, you've been out running around all day, and if it wasn't in the mailbox, you couldn't pick it up someplace else. So I jumped in the car, and I went down. I didn't have any lunch, and I came home even sadder because I left my dinner set getting cold. And so he's out this morning trying to either get a delivery of yesterday's paper or find one. But, I mean, you know, and a couple of years ago, I wasn't nearly that bad, but I want that section of the newspaper. I mean, we always got in the summertime, you know, what's the best recipes for whatever is most prolific at the time, you know, the crop that's coming in, and I hate missing it. It's something I enjoy seeing. You know, even if I don't make them, I want to know what's going on. Gives you a pulse, but our area is so, you know, it really is strong on the subject. With everything, and of course we got the Veg Fest coming up. Anyway, it wants to come out in September, probably about the around the 20th. There'll be 2 days of it, but you know, it's just it's a gradual thing, and it's different in different places. Of course, we're ballistic on a lot of things around here that aren't so good too. I don't know, but I certainly enjoy the level of health that's changed and all of that, along with, you know, everything our company has to offer. And I think the two just go so strongly in hand that there's no way you can overlook it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of inclined to think that we can't wait and expect our government to take responsibility for everything we do.
For sure.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, positively. The only thing with this article that pointed out to me is, okay, we're back to the bottom line dollar as far as contributions to each and every one of their election campaigns that needs to be taken care of ever so nicely. So,
it's also a shame because was it last year or the year before when Michelle got so gung ho about having the garden?
Yes, we don't.
Have you heard anything more lately?
No.
I would expect and hope that she's continuing it each year. But, you know, there's just so much that they can do. And the lobbying is just so rampant in every area. This is just one of them.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering how did we get here with all this lobbying money and allowing lobbying to just be so powerful.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, when you think about that and the pharmaceutical lobbyists, and it's so bizarre.
It is. The gun control, the whole thing is just unbelievable.
Right.
The pendulum swings, and they're sure fighting to keep the drug companies up there also. I mean, everything so much of what you hear is, you know, oh, now we're giving Viagra to, what is it, pregnant women or something? You know, I mean,
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's big news in our area here, too, the last week. You know, all the research is pointing how helpful that's going to be for whatever the condition is, because that's the answer to, you know, another drug for using it in another way. That's, oh, man, it's going to be more beneficial than it is to the men, because they're going to be able to save some children. Well, what's the culprit to begin with? You know, let's not try and erase it. Let's try and not have it. I mean, let's, you know, it's just goofy.
Oh, if you remember the chiropractor I used to listen to said there was a pill for every ill.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's give them 25 reasons to take it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No, don't just make it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just repeating. I don't need to get on my bandwagon on that again.
Well, we're almost out of time at this point, and I found a recipe also for a homemade Clif Bar that I thought was kind of interesting. I haven't tried it yet, but I intend to do so. And so I will put that on the blog. Does anybody want to hear it quickly or just want to go pick it up?
If it's easy, yeah. I'll put it down on my pad.
It's pretty easy, yes. It's 15 to 17 pitted dates. 1 cup of almonds. 1 cup of rolled oats. 'Tain' static. Are you able to hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. One half, like old-fashioned oatmeal. Is that what rolled oats is?
Yeah.
It's just dry, yeah.
Okay.
But not quick oats, that's all.
Okay.
Not quick oats and not the other ones that we use that are so compressed.
Right.
1 half cup of shredded coconut. 3/4 cups of water. 5 ingredients. Did I give them all?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so it's preheat the oven to 325. Grind up the oats and almonds in the food processor. When they have a crumbly consistency, add the dates and coconut. Lastly, add the water slowly as you pulse the ingredients together until a batter forms. It will be thick and sticky.
Read that last part about adding the water.
Add the water slowly as you pulse the ingredients together until a batter forms.
Okay, thanks.
Okay? Line a small pan with parchment paper, leaving enough paper sticking out on each side so you will be able to lift the whole thing out when done. Okay.
How long at 325?
About 20 minutes.
Sounds good.
Press the mixture down with a spatula to get it firm. And let it cool completely before removing the whole thing using the parchment.
You press it down before you bake it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It says cut the bars with a pizza cutter. And an 8x8 pan would work great, she says. And store them in the fridge.
That sounds good. One other thought, if you have one of those rocker knives for chopping, the Alaskan type from my trip to Alaska, they work wonderful at cutting like a pizza cutter. You can get into the right to the edge of the corners of the pan or the shape. They wouldn't probably still be in. Are you cutting them in the pan before you're lifting them out, or?
No, you lift them out, lift the whole thing out with the parchment paper,
and then cut it. Okay, so and that one wouldn't be so necessary. But when you've got something in a pan, that rocker knife, I can't. Ulu
Ulu or something like that it's called. Anyway, I keep one on the counter just for that.
Does it say how big a piece is to cut it into?
Say that. How many servings is it supposed to make? Does it say that?
Nope, doesn't give that.
Okay. Use your own judgment then, depending on how sweet it tastes, I guess.
I think that'll be the indication.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Did anybody hear Oz
today?
Did anybody hear Oz yesterday? They gave a recipe toward the end for a lupini bean potato salad. Anybody know about lupini beans?
I've seen it. It sounds like a Mexican bean, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, I bought
it. Came in a jar. I did see that yesterday. It came in a jar, and it was pickled.
Ah.
It's just in a salt.
What I saw there looked like a very large lima bean kind of shape.
Well, I bought a very small jar at we've got a grocery store here that gets seconds or things that, you know, they buy it big flats. Anyway, they had one jar at a time. I bought one or two, and I just, you know, rinsed them off, and they've got a hard skin on them. You have to kind of shell it, and I just ate them. But she was saying to simmer them.
Yeah.
And it is really pickled. It's just in a kind of a saline or salt brine.
Yes.
Do they look like fava beans? Do they look like fava beans?
Sorta.
They kind of resemble lima beans too. They're flat, but they have a double skin on them, and that's why when you said they were
this one does too. Has a hard skin on it, so I don't know if that softens up when you simmer them or not.
Normally, you take that off. I mean, the easiest place to find that, and you might find that same thing in a Mexican market, because the fava beans there are, you know, way, way less expensive, and you can get them dried whole, or you can get them dried with the hull on them. So you can get them either way, and I just started making sure I was picking them up without the hulls, because it takes out one whole step, and I don't want to mess with it. And there's practically, well, I don't even know that there's any difference in the price.
Well, they didn't even say anything about having to shell these or anything, so.
Well, the first shell is taken off, and so I don't know whether some people eat them with that. It's not really a shell on the second part. They pop out of a pod originally. And I learned this back in New York, and then with the fava beans, they pop out of a pod. The guy says that was selling them. He says, do you know how to fix these? And I says, I don't have a clue. And he says, well, let me show you the difference. And he had me taste one that came out of the pod, and then he took and he peeled that other skin off, which was kind of a pain to get off, and then had me taste it. And there was a world of difference because it takes the bitterness off of it.
Yeah. And this too, you've got to take the skin off, so.
Yeah. Mm.
They didn't mention that yesterday, so.
Interesting.
Well,
anyway.
There was another, what was he raving about? Was it a sweet potato ice cream?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I want to check those recipes, but I haven't had time yet. So.
Yeah, I just got up, and it's the Culinary Institute of America's Better Than Potato Salad. I think that's the recipe, and it's move over potatoes and make room for lupini beans.
Yeah.
This big white bean called the lupini bean. I have to wait for this to come up with more. Works great in all these recipes to give you the starchy taste you crave. Try this healthier Take on potato salad from the Culinary Institute of America, and it does give the recipe, Onita.
Okay, yeah.
So if you went and just click on Tuesday's episode, it'll take you to that.
Yeah. Thanks.
It has a half cup of silken tofu in there, instead of using any, mayonnaise or anything like that. So it was a neat recipe. I will look for the beans.
Oh, and just as a quick note, I'm not going to take time to do anything with it today, but anyway, somebody asked about the China Study cookbook. I got into it yesterday, and I made two recipes. Well, one recipe took two parts to it, and it was the best broccoli salad, and then you had to make it suggested that you use the mayo.
Has left the conference.
It was the best mayo I've ever had. It was easy, and it was made with a half a carton of silken tofu, and then it went into the salad as the main, the main dressing, main part of the dressing. They added a little bit to it, and the salad was wonderful also. I mean, both of them were really good. So anybody that wanted a review of something out of that book, that was the beginning for me, because it's the first two recipes I'd tried, but both of them were takers as far as I was concerned, so.
What did you say the name of that one is?
Well, it's called the China Study Cookbook. It just came out. I had ordered it before it was released, and so it's been here for probably a good month now, but maybe two.
Doesn't it have a different name, Char?
The cover is just the China Study Cookbook.
I thought I saw a different name on it. Okay.
Well, there might be another one, but this one, the foreword was by Colin Campbell, and it was probably his daughter or wife, Leanne Campbell, PhD, and photos by Stephen Campbell Dislaw. I don't know why it sounds like a man's name, but it's still hyphenated. I don't know. I've never seen that before. But anyway, not hyphenated, but it's a double. Anyway,
right.
They did the photos in it. So, it came through Campbell's website, so, and it's beautifully done. I mean, it's a mini tabletop book with the pictures and everything that it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And everything does sound really good and really clean, really clean.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I thought, well, that's a good one to work out of.
Absolutely. You can't go wrong with that, I'm sure. Anything
some
else?
Some are more gourmet and some are more simple, so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be anxious to hear some of your recipe making and see what else you have to say about it.
Yeah, it's just it'll require typing to get it into the computer, because I'm sure they don't have it on a site, so. Unless they're advertising with
yeah.
A few of them or something. I'll find out. Anyway, I know we're over time, so.
Yeah. Anybody have anything else before we sign off for today?
Yeah.
Great info, Betty. Thank you.
Okay. Make it a wonderful day. Enjoy yourselves. And be kind to each other.
Thanks, Betty. Good recipes.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Nikan, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.